Who is Círdan? He appears right at the end of The Lord of the Rings to usher the Ringbearers to the Undying Lands aboard the White Ship. But his legacy and influence can be felt throughout the story, and throughout the history of the elves in Middle-earth. So, who is Círdan? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you like theories, background, history and lore about The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher, then you've come to the right place. Welcome. It's easy to think of all elves as being impossibly old and wise, and of course they are, but there are some among them who even the elves consider old and wise. And in Middle-earth, chief among those is Círdan. Círdan was born with the name Noe. In Middle-earth, way back, even before the Noldor and the Vanyar elves went to Valinor at the summons of the Valar. For context, this places him as much, much older than even, say, Galadriel, and thousands more years older than Elrond. His age by the time of The Lord of the Rings can be seen by the fact that he, very rarely for an elf, appears old and even has a long beard. Most elves seem ageless and are beardless, but not Círdan. His hair is grey and his beard long. When he was much younger, though, he was among those first elves that the Valar invited westwards to live with them in the Undying Lands. Círdan was one of the most keen. In fact, we're told that going to Valinor was his greatest desire. Remember that, because that is a really important point Tolkien drops in there about Círdan. His greatest desire was to go to and experience the light of the Undying Lands. Not all of Círdan's people, the Teleri, shared this desire. In fact, many of them stopped en route and settled instead in the lands they found along the way. Nevertheless, Círdan and some others pressed on, and he reached the far western shore of Middle-earth at the head of his people. But then news came that Elwë, king of the Teleri, had gone missing. Círdan and the Teleri with him loyally went back to look for him, meaning that they literally missed the boat, or island, taking the other elves, the Vanyar and the Noldor, across to Valinor. This must have been very frustrating for Círdan, given that it was his greatest desire to go there, but he did his duty anyway, even if he didn't find Elwë at that point. And while he was waiting for the island to return and take the Teleri across, if this is new to you, by the way, yes, the Valar really did transport the elves across to the Undying Lands on an island. Círdan took to building ships, lots of ships. This is how he got his name, Círdan, which literally means just shipwright. And he kept on searching for his king. Most of the Teleri had given up by this point. Elwë had been gone a long time, but out of love and obedience, he kept on looking. And tragically, when he returned from another long search, he discovered that he had missed the second opportunity to go to Valinor. His people, who had stayed on the shore and not looked for their king, had gone without him. He was distraught and thought of getting into one of his ships and giving chase, but we're told that the Valar spoke to him in his heart and told him no, his ship would not be able to endure that voyage, nor would any other ship for many an age. But that one day he would build a ship that would be able to make the journey, and the story of that ship would be sung for long ages. Círdan accepted this fate and was given a vision of a ship. We'll come back to that ship in a moment. Because Círdan then resigned to his fate, ruled over the Teleri left in Middle-earth who had not travelled to Valinor out of love for their missing Lord Elwë. These people became known as the Faladhrim, and for a long time lived a peaceful life on the western shore of Middle-earth, building ships, diving for pearls, and so on. It was not to last forever, though. Morgoth's return to Middle-earth, then the arrival of the Noldor, led to strife throughout the First Age, and the Faladhrim were almost all destroyed. Círdan and his people fought bravely, coming to the rescue of their brethren with stealth attacks from the sea on more than one occasion, but Morgoth's army advance was relentless. When his realm and home at the Falas fell, Círdan escaped to set up a new base on the Isle of Balar, managing to smuggle out with him a young Gil-galad, the future High King, and the two of them were at the heart of much of the resistance going forward. Although, by then, the Wise realised that the only hope of actually stopping Morgoth was if the Valar themselves intervened. Thingol, Círdan's king, previously known as Elwë, commissioned Círdan to build seven ships to sail west, but they all faltered and failed. Then, finally, after becoming friends with Earendil, he worked with him on another ship, and not just any ship, but the ship he had been shown in his vision by the Valar all that time ago, a ship that was capable of enduring the voyage to Valinor. We're not told if Círdan hoped to sail in that boat with Earendil. He surely must have at least thought about it, but events conspired once more to prevent that from happening. Earendil set off in the ship Vingolot, seeking the help of the Valar when Círdan was elsewhere. It was at this point, after Earendil's successful plea to the Valar, that Círdan was granted, we're told, foresight surpassing that of any of the elves. Perhaps this was an honour in recognition of his role and fortitude, or perhaps it was foresight on the part of the Valar themselves. Círdan's wisdom would be needed in Middle-earth. Again, after the War of Wrath and defeat of Morgoth, the opportunity was there for elves to travel to Valinor, but this time Círdan decided to stay back, because of duty. He hadn't lost his desire to go, but he was wiser now and knew the role he had to play. The world was reshaped, but again Círdan set up hope on the new westernmost shore with a small group of followers, to build ships and gaze westwards with longing. He established the Grey Havens, the start of the Straight Path. The world had been changed, and no longer could people hope to simply sail west and reach Valinor. They must go by the Straight Path now from the Grey Havens. All through the Second and Third Ages, 6,500 years, elves drifted there in ones or twos or larger groups. Círdan made ships for them all, and they sailed west to Valinor. This may not be the most exciting or dynamic part of Círdan's story, but it may be the most important. The elf whose greatest desire was to go to Valinor himself, not doing so, but instead making sure that every other elf can go if they wish, personally, by hand, ship by ship. Not that Círdan just sat by the seashore and ignored what was going on in the rest of Middle-earth all that time. On the contrary, he intervened in significant moments and with significant results, as you would expect from someone so far-sighted. For example, it was he who pioneered contact with the faithful Numenoreans in the Second Age, mentoring Aldarion, the eponymous mariner from The Mariner's Wife, the only full-length story Tolkien ever wrote about Numenor. He taught the Numenoreans to build great seafaring ships and seaside architecture, and although Numenor's doom was inevitable, they played an important role in helping save Middle-earth in the War of the Elves and Sauron. When the mysterious Annatar wandered Middle-earth, trying to entice people into accepting his gifts, Círdan was one of those who counselled against it. His advice was, of course, ignored. But when Sauron revealed himself and invaded Eriador, Sauron did not dare attack Círdan at the Grey Havens, we're told, because he had the support of the Numenoreans. Support that Círdan the Farsighted had engendered 1,000 years earlier by befriending Aldarion. Círdan joined wars when he needed to as well. He was a part of the last alliance of elves and men that faced down Sauron at the end of the Second Age, and at the end of that war, it wasn't just Elrond that urged Isildur to destroy the ring rather than take it. Círdan was the other person who did. In fact, to give him even more credit, much earlier he had counselled against the creation of the rings in the first place. During Arnor's many wars with Angmar, Círdan repeatedly intervened, involving himself in battles, rescue missions, providing safe haven and much more, culminating in the Battle of Fornost, in which the Witch King was finally banished from the northwest of Middle-earth. Glorfindel often gets a lot of rightful credit in that battle, but Círdan and his men were there too at the centre of the action. One often overlooked moment in the aftermath of that battle is that Círdan took possession of what was known as the Elendil Stone, a palantir, and installed it in the Tower of Elostirion in the Grey Havens. The unique thing about that palantir was that it was unconnected to the other stones and only saw west, towards the Undying Lands. Círdan, whose greatest desire was to see and experience the light of the west himself, opened it up for any elf to use, so all elves could see the glory there, and many did. The elves Frodo and co. run into while leaving the Shire were returning from just such a trip. Probably the most famous intervention Círdan made, though, came around the year 1000 of the Third Age. The Valar sent the five Istari to Middle-earth disguised as old men by boat, so they arrived to be greeted by Círdan at the Grey Havens. Only Círdan apparently initially understood the truth of who these old men were and what their mission was. Back in the Second Age, Celebrimbor the Great Smith had given Círdan the Ring of Power known as Narya for safekeeping. The other two he gave to Gil-galad and Galadriel. And now Círdan gave it to Gandalf on his arrival in Middle-earth. We might take it for granted now, but this was an odd move by Círdan. It was the greatest possession Círdan had, so to give it away was notable in and of itself, but if he was going to give it to anyone, Saruman was the leader of the Istari, so he was the obvious person to give such a powerful magical item to, but Círdan decided to give it to Gandalf instead, the Maiar who famously didn't even want to be there in the first place, because he was afraid. Círdan apparently looked deep into Gandalf's future and said this, "Take this ring, master, for your labours will be heavy, but it will support you in the weariness that you have taken upon yourself, for this is the Ring of Fire, and with it you may rekindle hearts in a world that grows chill. But as for me, my heart is with the sea, and I will dwell by the grey shores until the last ship sails. I will await you." Círdan knew, better than anyone, quite how central Gandalf would be in the age to come, and that Gandalf would return to him after all was done. "I will await you," he says. Sure enough, Gandalf was the only one of the five to return. And Círdan did wait. The first and only time we actually meet him in the main stories is when he welcomes the hobbits and the ringbearers to the Grey Havens and for the ship that he has prepared for them. Not that he, Círdan, would take that ship. No, true to his mission, he stayed on in Middle-earth and only left when every elf who wanted to leave had safely embarked. The ship he took with Celeborn was known as the Last Ship. With him, the age of the elves in Middle-earth was truly gone. The last link or memory of the elder days departed. The dominion of man could start. So, how can we summarise the importance of Círdan? He is undoubtedly a legend of Middle-earth, but he's never quite in the limelight. Tolkien makes him stand out by his age, by the fact that he's the only elf we really meet with a beard, that he is the wisest or most foresighted elf, but he's never quite the main hero, invaluable, but in a supporting role. We only ever actually get to see him in the main story a few pages before the very end of it all. You see, what is amazing about Círdan is not his age or wisdom or foresight, but his self-sacrifice. Círdan's greatest desire, we are told again and again, was to go to the Undying Lands, but he never did until the very end. He lived his life by the shore closest to it, gazed through a palantir so he could see it from afar, built ships for others to sail there. Every single elf in the Second and Third Age who left Middle-earth to sail west used a ship Círdan had made for them. For thousands of years, he helped everyone else to achieve his life goal. And only then, when he had helped everyone else, did Círdan board the last ship and sail there himself, finally achieving his greatest desire, a true legend of Middle-earth. If you'd like to see more videos on the world of J.R.R. Tolkien and the Lord of the Rings, please click on the link to the playlist on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.